This morning's message is entitled, Making Disciples Who Connect, Grow, and Serve. It's the second of a three-part series that I started last week, and so I want to continue with it today. And I want us to read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Let's read it out loud together, please. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And that'd be a good place for another amen. But grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. When we began this journey less than 3 years ago, I had a desire in my heart to be the pastor of a church that would truly know how to connect with God in worship and know how to grow in God's grace, balanced between the Word and the Spirit, and would truly be a church that would serve for the glory of God. And I just couldn't find it, I didn't think, in other places. But it wasn't within my heart to be a part of a new church start. For a lot of logistical reasons and a lot of timing issues, when I resigned from the Rehoboth Baptist Church, I really had no place to go in mind, especially not to a new church start. And some inquired about that along the journey, and I'd tell my universal answer, God does not start churches, God births churches. And Maria and I are not pregnant with that truth or that process. And so we went on and brought about to walk with the Lord through the healing process and to bring closure to a very painful stage and page in God's journey in our life with God. And the healing was coming and the closure was coming. And we had accepted an invitation from a pastor search team to become the pastor or to go and preach in view of a call to be the pastor of a church in Morristown, Tennessee. Our house was on the market. The house sold. The closing was set up for Thursday. They packed us on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. They left about 5:15 or 5:20 on the Wednesday evening. And I had more than a desire, more than a yearning. I was being compelled by the Holy Spirit that we're supposed to be at Free Chapel in Gainesville, Georgia, in time for their 7 o'clock Wednesday night service. Again, it was more than a desire, and it was more than a want to. It was a have to. You ever had those have to moments in your life? You have to do this. You don't know why you have to do it. You have to do this. And so I said, Maria, I just have the strongest urge. I'm not a legalist about this. I believe God knows our plate's been full these last two or three days, and we don't have to go to this midweek service, but we have to. You know the difference when you don't have to do it legalistic, but you have to be obedient. And so we start the long journey up to Gainesville, and not knowing why we need to be there other than we're supposed to be there. And when I get there that night, they announce the pastor's not preaching tonight. I go, well, what's up with this? Everybody goes to hear the pastor preach when he's supposed to preach. But that night they introduced a man by the name of Matthew Barnett is going to be preaching tonight. Well, that's fine. I didn't know Matthew Barnett from anybody. I had heard of his father, but I'd never heard of him. And he was a pastor of a church called the Dream Center. The Dream Center in Los Angeles, California. Well, we're there. We've made the long trip. We got nowhere else to go. We got no furniture in the house we just left. It won't even be ours tomorrow. And so we might as well stay here and enjoy it. And so we do. And the opening words out of Matthew's mouth were, God's going to redefine somebody's idea of success tonight. And that caused me to sit up in my seat, you know, and so I think I might ought to hear this. He said, you might have been denominationally successful. You might have been successful in your business world. You might have been successful in a lot of places. Or you might not have been successful in any of those places. But how are you successful in God's eyes? And that's a good question for all of us to consider. As you sit here today, are you successful in God's eyes? Well, he had my attention even more keen now, and he goes on to talk about this, and he talks about when he went to be the pastor of the Dream Center, he grew that down from 36 to 4 in about 3 or 4 months. And he felt like an utter failure. And being an utter failure, he just went home one afternoon and cried in his apartment all afternoon. He said, "You know, God, let me cry all afternoon." He said, "I cried all into the night, and God let me cry all into the night." God ever let you do that? And then when I'd cried all afternoon and all evening, God said, "Are you over that now?" And God compelled him to go to a specific place on the south side of Los Angeles in the Watts District. And he went down there, took a cab down there, and the cab let him out, and God asked him, "What do you see here?" He said, "You mean other than these dead bodies laying here?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You mean other than these drug pushers and these drug deals taking place?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You mean other than these prostitutes down here?" He said, "Yeah. What else do you see down here?" He said, "God, that's about all I see." And he said, "That's your problem. You don't see me down here." And God started the process of giving him a dream. And the church became known as the Dream Center. Well, anyway, along that journey, he said, God wants to redefine somebody else's idea of success tonight. And any of you that may be here that would talk with me about being a pastor of a new church, I would tell you, you don't have any money, you don't have any people, you don't have any facilities, you don't really have much of anything. You know, maybe God's calling you to be a part of a church start, but this is what you need, this is how much you need, and this is when you need it. And I'm going to Tennessee. I'm going to pastor there, and that's what you need. And anyway... this all happened, and on that Wednesday night when God began to speak, here's what Matthew's words were that made the application to me and to Marie. Matthew said that night that if God's going to redefine your idea of success, you're going to have to be willing to pour yourself into somebody else's dream. You can't live with your own dream. Now, your dream might be fine, but it's always going to involve helping somebody else. And if you're going to be the kind of leader that God wants to use, then your dream's going to have to include helping somebody else. And so how do you go about fulfilling God's will for your life, helping somebody else in the dream that they might have? And the very first thing that he said is that you've got to be willing to start where you're at. He said you can't go looking to leave someplace else and go someplace else and find the fulfillment of God's success in your life somewhere else. You've got to be willing to start where you're at. He said, not only do you have to be willing to start where you're at, he said, you've got to be willing to use what you've got. You can't wait till you've got it all to start what you want to do. You've got to start where you're at. You've got to use what you've got. The third thing you've got to do is do the best that you can. And the fourth thing you've got to do is you've got to leave it all up to God. You've got to leave all the results up to God. And if you'll do that by loving people that nobody else seems to love, then God will see to it that your place is filled with people that everybody wants to love. And so God broke our heart that night. And in breaking our heart, you know, God humbled us and extended an invitation for us to be a part of a new church start in the Atlanta area. We wouldn't know what its name was going to be. We wouldn't know everything's going to be about. But the things that I'm talking to you about in making disciples is that we knew that we'd have to be a church that was in fulfillment of the Great Commission. And in fulfilling the Great Commission, we'd have to be willing to connect with God. We'd have to be willing to serve to grow in His grace, and we'd have to be willing to serve for His glory. And so what happened that night is we got broken, and we went forward in an invitation before an invitation was given. We didn't even make it all the way to the steps. We got down there, just fell down, and just begged God to forgive us for having our own plans and our own ideas of success and our own destinies to go to. And we said, God, we'll be a part of anything that you'd be pleased to have us be a part of. If it's a new church work, we'll be a part of a new church work. But we don't have a clue what we're talking about. We don't have a clue what we're doing. And God impressed upon us, that's okay. You just keep your eyes on me. You've never been the way that I'm about to lead you before, and I'll show you how to get there. So we go back to the house that's empty, and all we've got is the utilities. They haven't been turned off yet until the closing the next day. And I've got my laptop, and I put the connection in, and it's still working. And I sent out an email to just a few families that I had emailed their addresses for and said, I don't know for sure, but I think my wife and I got pregnant at church tonight. And we're going to be doing some pregnancy tests over the next several weeks. And then, just for the Pharisees, I put in there, we're talking about only in the spiritual realm tonight, for sure. So don't tell anybody that Marie and I got physically pregnant at church on Wednesday night. Over the next several weeks, we began to do some spiritual pregnancy tests just to cast out the kind of vision and the kind of church that we felt that God would bless. And then on May the 8th of 2005, Truth Tabernacle of Praise had its first worship service ever as a church, and we met at the Mountain Park Aquatic Center. Since that time, we journeyed around, being true to the tabernacle aspect of the name of our church, and we were at a middle school for over a year, and then just this year, Easter, we were able to have our first worship services on these facilities at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Ever since then, we've been trying to love people that nobody else seems to want to love. We've been trying to reach people that nobody else seems to want to reach. We were glad to move into an area that seems to be depressed and oppressed and abandoned and forsaken by the majority of the evangelical community. But by design, God has placed us here, and He wants us to be a church that will be about making disciples who will connect with Him, who will grow in His grace, and who will serve Him for His glory. So how do we do that as a church? What I want to share with you today are the three steps or the three ideas to a simple church that we utilize at Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We started the message last week by teaching you about the fact that we believe that we need to be a church that connects with God. And we need to connect with God in two areas. The first area is through worship. And we spent almost the entire message last week preaching to you about worship. There are four things that makes up true worship based on Genesis chapter 22 and the first occurrence of worship in the whole Word of God. Worship involves revelation from God, preparation by us, separation from others, and expectation of the miraculous. If you'll say amen, I'll move on to the next point. The next place that we try to connect people with God through is through prayer. I believe that as a church, we need to be a church that connects with God through prayer, and we need to connect with God through worship. And if you are growing in God's grace, if you are growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, then you're going to be connecting with God through worship, and you're going to be connecting with God through prayer. Somebody needs to say amen again. Now, we don't use just any kind of a prayer ministry at Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We believe that there is a difference in the Bible, Old and the New Testament, between praying and between praying. We believe that there is a difference between a liturgical prayer and a vertical prayer. We believe that there's a difference between the horizontal and the vertical. We believe that there is a divine connection that God wants to take place between Him and His children, and that's the same connection that we try to take place right here at Truth Tabernacle of Praise. What we believe in at Truth Tabernacle of Praise in connecting people with God through prayer has three principles that I want to share with you today, or three things that I want to teach you about today. First of all, we believe that the difference between praying and crying out is that crying out to the Lord involves a principle that we must visualize for ourselves. It involves a principle that we must visualize for ourselves. In other words, if you're like me, you've got to see it before you can sometimes believe it. You've got to see it in the Word before you'll ever embrace it in your life. And for some of us, it takes a long time to see these kind of principles in God's Word. Now, this is not a charismatic principle. This is not a denominational principle. This is a biblical principle. Whether you like the Old Testament or whether you like the New Testament, it's a principle that you can see, and then your mind's eye can begin to visualize it. And at Truth Tabernacle of Praise, we make no apologies for believing in the power of crying out to God in prayer. Look at this principle in Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. And if you've not grasped this principle yet, maybe today's the day for you. If you do, we got running room for you right here. In Mark chapter 6, verse 45, the Word of God says, immediately Jesus, what's that next word? Made. Has He ever made you do something that you didn't really want to do? Jesus will sometimes make you, to more accurately communicate it, He'll create circumstances to where He strongly suggests you do this. And you can not do it if you don't want to, but there's some other circumstances that you're going to encounter if you don't do it. Because technically, He never makes you do anything, and He never makes me do anything, but there are consequences for doing it and not doing it that make you want to be glad He encouraged you to do it. Anyway, immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go where? Ahead of Him. That means He wasn't going to go there. He wasn't going to go there on the same seat next to you. He wasn't going to go there in the same row that you're on. But just because He's not in the boat doesn't mean He's not on the journey. Just because He's not headed on the same ticket you're on doesn't mean He's not already there, been there, and working ahead of you there. And look at this. Immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to where? Oh my goodness. To the other side. I think I'll preach about that sometime. Verse 48. While they're going there in the boat that He's not in, because He's made them to get in that boat to go to the other side that they necessarily didn't want to go to, He came to them walking on the sea, and He, what's this capital letter word here? He intended to what? He intended to pass them by. Now that's the principle that I want you to visualize with me today. Do you realize that there are some circumstances in your life? There may be some issues in your marriage. There may be some reasons in your finances to where Jesus knows all about this mess, and He does, and He's walking by, but He's intending on letting you stay in those circumstances. He's intending on letting you stay in that problem. He's intending on you staying in that with that mountain in front of you. He's intending on not helping you at all at this time in your life. It says it right there. I mean, do you think He loves them any less than He loves you? He loves them the same as He loves you, and if He did it for them, He'll do it for you. That's the principle you got to visualize. Sometimes there's a mess in your life that God's going to let you live with until you learn what to do with the mess. Now, last Wednesday night, I exhorted the people in a little devotional thing, in a little sermonette for their Christianettes. No, I preached on problems being an invitation to prayer. Problems being an invitation for us to pray. And there are some times that God not only allows the problem, but He seems to create the circumstances that allow the problem. Now, if He hadn't have made them get into the boat, if He hadn't have made them to go on the other side, then maybe they wouldn't have been in that storm that they were in. But He intended to pass them by. Somebody may be in one of those problems right now. And you haven't yet visualized this principle that God wants you to visualize. And God's wanting to take you to another level of ministry in your life. Look at what they did. But when they saw Him walking on the sea, they did what? Oh my goodness. That wasn't one of those liturgical cryouts. Oh, Thou most holy and awesome God of the universe, Creator of all. Nothing wrong with that, because all that's true. It's just that that wasn't what they needed to let out at that time. There are problems in your life. There are burdens in your life. There are issues in your life that don't require for just a simple liturgical prayer. I mean, you got to cry out to the depth of your soul over the severity of your problems. In other words, you got to make sure you get His attention. You got to make sure that if He's intending on passing you by, He's not going to be able to do it without you making noise in His presence. Do you remember blind Bartimaeus? I mean, he was sitting there blind. He couldn't even see Jesus walking by, but he could hear that Jesus was walking by, and he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He got His attention. He cried out. We see the same thing with a woman with the issue of blood. I mean, she wasn't going to let Jesus walk by her situation without Him feeling that she had been there. So that's a principle that we've got to visualize, and it is called the power of crying out. There's secondly a pattern then that we must personalize. When you begin to see that there are circumstances in your life, there are problems that God allows and sometimes even seems to orchestrate into your life that He has no intention on getting you out of at that time in your life, unless He hears from you on it, then there is a pattern that you must personalize. What is that pattern? Look at Psalm, what David understood in Psalm 86:7. In the day of my trouble, I shall meditate upon you. Is that what it says? Now, meditation is a great discipline. Biblical meditation upon the truths of God, upon the attributes of God, upon the promises of God. That's a great thing. But there comes a time in your life when meditation is not going to get this thing solved. There comes a time in the life that in the day of your trouble, you shall call upon you, for you will answer me. Do you understand that word call is just one of several Hebrew words that means to shriek out loud. It means to just let out loud with the tops of your lungs to make noise in the presence of God. So what we see is there's a pattern that we must learn to personalize in our life, and it is we need to pray. But praying is praying and crying is crying. How many of you know the difference in that? Amen? Talking is talking and shouting is shouting. There's a time to talk and there's a time to shout. And there comes a time in your life and my life when you need to make some disturbance in the hospital hallways. There's some times you need to make a disturbance in your workstation. There's some times when you need to make some loud noise because there is a principle that you have visualized and there is a pattern that you're ready to personalize. And if I'm in a mess, if I'm in a problem, if I'm in a difficulty, and Jesus is anywhere near, if He's intending on passing me by, He's going to have to say, no, you be quiet right now. Don't speak to me about this anymore because you're going to make some noise in His presence. Well, number three, not only is there a principle we must visualize and a pattern that we must personalize, but crying out is a promise that we must internalize. It's a promise that we must internalize. You'll never cry out until you begin to internalize it. Look at what it says in Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon. I will, what's that next word? Complain. Now, you know, we don't like negative complaining to be gossips or things like that. We don't tolerate that here. But this is a different kind of complain here. The psalmist says that evening and morning and at noon, I will complain. That word complain is the word siach. Siach. And it means to put forth my thoughts. It's what I have been meditating on. It's what I have been thinking on. It's what I've been praying about. Now it's time to put forth thoughts out unto God. And how many know that thoughts are silent, but putting forth thoughts are verbal? Thoughts that you have can stay inside, but there comes a time when the thoughts that you have about your problem on the inside, you've got to let them out to the God on the outside. It's not that He doesn't hear you. It's just that sometimes the world needs to hear what your thoughts are. Sometimes your flesh needs to hear what your thoughts are. And certainly the devil needs to hear what these thoughts are when you're ready to complain to the Lord, when you're ready to let Him know. He says, morning and noon and evening, I will complain and what? Murmur. Now the word murmur is hama. Hama. And it's a loud humming that leads up to a growl or a roar. Oh my goodness. That is the promise that you've got to internalize. That if I have a problem in the morning, if I have a problem at noontime, if I have a problem in the evening time, I need to bring forth my thoughts and put them outside there, and I need to even hum it out, growl it out, or let it out so that God will pay attention. Well, it's a promise that we must internalize because He will, the psalmist says, hear my, what's that last word? Now, I included that in here for you, the word coal, and that is the word noise. God will hear my noise. A little bit earlier in the worship service, God heard some noise. God heard some noise from some people that are crying out, and I want you to visualize that principle because you need to see it in the Word before you'll ever use it in your life. Again, it's not a charismatic issue. It's not a denominational issue. It's not a Baptist issue. It's not a Lutheran issue. It's not a Methodist issue. It is a biblical issue. And there is power in crying out from God's people. It's a promise that we must internalize. So at Truth Tabernacle of Praise, by design, we seek to connect people with God through worship and through prayer. Through worship and through prayer. So much so that our Wednesday night service is our prayer service. our prayer service. And we want to connect as many people as we possibly can to the greatest service, the most powerful service, and the most important service that we have, connecting with God through worship and through prayer. All right. Now, everyone here today have been influenced by our connecting ministry. Today you've been influenced, you've been impacted by our worship ministry. And we want you to move intentionally through these stages and be impacted through our prayer ministry. But there's a second part of our philosophy as a church. Not only do we attempt to connect with people, connect people with God through worship and through prayer, there's a second thing that we seek to do. And that's what we call growing through small groups. Growing through small groups. Now the Word of God says, we read it for our text today, that we must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that's a command. That's not an option. We've got to grow in God's grace and in the knowledge of our salvation. Now, there are three stages of growth. Let me give them to you real quickly. Babies. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn what? Babies long for the what? Pure milk of the Word. So that you may what? Grow in respect to your what? Salvation. Now listen, as good as worship is, it can still be for some people just milk. Just milk. That's all you ever get is corporate worship. Now, I'm thankful that you get that. But God wants you to grow beyond that in respect to your what? Your salvation. I mean, this great salvation we have, it is full of nuggets. It's more than teaching you that hell was hot, sin was black, but Jesus saved you. I mean, He wants to teach you what it means to be saved, what it means to be sanctified, what it means to be justified, what it means to be glorified. God's got a whole wealth of truth out there for you to grow in and me to grow in. So how do we do it at Truth Tabernacle of Praise? We want you to grow with others through small groups. Now, if you're not involved in a small group yet, you're depriving yourself of some growth opportunities. We want you to grow with others through small groups. And we don't want you to stay a baby, though we want to see a lot of babies around here. We want God to entrust us with some brand new babes in Christ. Amen? Therefore, if he or she's in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. That's what this is talking about here, this new creation ministry of people being born again. All right, you got babies, number two. You got children. Now, I need you to evaluate yourself. Are you a baby or are you a child? You say, well, I'm a child of God. Amen, I am too. But in your spiritual development, are you a baby or are you a child? Are you still saying mama, dada? You still saying goo, goo, gaga? You still needing somebody to feed you? You still drinking the milk? You still taking the bottle? 1 John 2:12 says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for His name's sake. Verse 13, he goes on to say, I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. You know, that's about all that the child knows at this developmental stage. They know that they're saved and that they have a Father in heaven. They don't know a whole lot about this Father in heaven. They still think of Him like their earthly father. Now, as good as your earthly father may have been, He's nothing like your heavenly Father. As bad as your earthly father may have been, you understand he's nothing like your eternal Father. And so a child, though, basically has only gone beyond the milk to a little bit of junk food. And they're not going to develop properly if all they get some junk food. They'll be a child, but they'll be a child for a long, long time. And then number three, adults. Adults, spiritually mature adults. Hebrews 5:13 says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is a what? An infant. Verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of what? Practice. Do you remember the Allen Iverson interview from several years ago when his coach was complaining that he didn't practice? And Allen Iverson, who played basketball with the Philadelphia 76ers, he went on for about 3 minutes. Practice? Practice? We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice. We're not talking about a game. We're talking about practice. The coach is upset because I don't practice. And it went on and on and on. Well, that's what some Christians do. They say, practice, practice. We're talking about practice. Well, the Word of God says you become a mature adult by practice and training your senses to discern good and evil. The platform that we use for this philosophy is small groups. And in small groups, we want to take babies, help them develop into godly children, and godly children develop into mature spiritual adults. But you know the great thing about God's process of maturity? It doesn't take years to go from an infant to an adult. You don't have to be a child of God for 22 years before you can be a legal adult. You can become a mature adult in a short span of time, depending on how much you put what you learn into practice. Practice. We're talking about practice. Well, we see we want to connect with God through worship and prayer, and we want to grow through small groups. And the first thing we showed you is the stages of our development. The stages of our development, where you go from babies to children to adults. But I want to close with the symptoms of our dysfunction. The symptoms of our dysfunction. You mean that we've got a dysfunction? Well, look at what Hebrews 5:12 says. For though by this time you ought to be what? Teachers. You have need again for someone to do what? To teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need what? Milk and not solid food. The writer of the Hebrews is addressing a group of people who had been trained and instructed long enough to where they ought to be off of the bottle by now. And they ought to not only be eating meat, they ought to be teachers of meat as well. They ought to be able to practice their righteousness in daily living. What are the symptoms of our dysfunction? There are three of them that I want to give you. Number one, hearing the Word of God without acknowledging the Word of God. That's when people sit in a worship service and they never acknowledge the Word of God in the rest of their life. They come back to a worship service, but they never acknowledge what they've learned in the Word of God through any daily application through their life. They hear the Word, but they don't acknowledge the Word. They hear the Word, and they never show they acknowledge the Word because they never practice the Word. But they will come back. Now, what happens if you hear the Word without acknowledging the Word long enough? I'm glad you'd like to know. If you do this long enough, it will lead you to what? Drifting. To drifting. Hebrews 2:1. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have what? To what we have heard, so that we do not what? Drift away from it. I look out on a typical Sunday and I see a segment of drifters. That you've been hearing the Word and hearing the Word and hearing the Word, but you've never shown any way of acknowledging the Word. And if you hear the Word long enough without acknowledging the Word that you've heard, then you begin to drift away from that Word. And you'll go back to being a baby. All over again. And when you ought to be able to teach somebody else, you'll still need to be taught. And when you ought to be able to eat the stronger food, you'll have to be limited to a milk diet all over again. So as an individual, let's make sure that we're going to hear the Word. And when we hear the Word, we're going to acknowledge the Word so that we don't drift away from the truth of the Word that we've heard. Well, just give you a little test right now. How many of you ever heard something preached or a truth in a song and you said, man, I'll never forget that. That's great. I'll never forget that. Time you get to lunch, somebody says, what they preach on today? It was good. It was good. I'll never forget it. But I just can't remember it right now. You'll drift away from it if you don't put it into practice pretty soon. Number two, hearing the word without acknowledging the word leads to drifting, but understanding the word without what? Without obeying the word. Now we move to a different category. It's not a question, well, I don't understand it enough to do something about it. You understand it, and you know you need to obey it, but you don't do it. Have you ever done anything like that in your spiritual walk? Oh, my goodness. Understanding without obeying leads to another thing, and that leads to what? Doubting. How many of you have ever had a doubt about something God has emphatically said was true, and there was a time in your life when you believed it to be true? I mean, God can tell you that He loves you, He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you, and you understand that for a season, but you don't obey Him consistently in your life. And if you don't obey Him consistently in life, the devil can come around and create a doubt around what you once believed emphatically. Are you living with some doubts now about something? Is there a possibility that you're understanding something, but you're not obeying what you understand? God is serious about this spiritual growth business. And there are certain principles that we have to embrace, that we have to obey, or else we'll drift and then we'll doubt. Well, number three, not only do we hear with understanding and need to obey what we understand, but number three, receiving without what? Serving. Oh my goodness. Every evangelical church that I know of has a shortage of servants willing to receive, willing to serve. Every church that I know. And the problem with that is you've got more people that want to receive, but not as many people who are willing to serve based on what they've received. That's why, and we'll talk more about this next week, that we believe it not too great of expectation that every saved member we have will be a serving member. Because if you receive without serving, long enough it will lead to what? Dullness in your Christian life. Hebrews 5:11, concerning, what's that man's name? I put that in for you because it just said him in the text, but I translated him for you. Concerning Melchizedek, the writer to the Hebrews says, we have how much to say? He said, we got a whole bunch we'd like to talk to you right now about Melchizedek. How many of you know all that you need to know about Melchizedek? Well, one of the reasons that you don't know all that you could know about Melchizedek because a group of people he was writing to had become dull in their understanding. And he said, I got so much I'd like to tell you, I'm prepared to write it right now. But you've become dull in what you do know. And you can't receive this right now, so now the rest of us suffer. We've got to find out about Melchizedek some other way, other than just reading it right out of chapter 5 and chapter 6. Concerning Melchizedek, we have much to say, and it's hard to what? He said, this is meat here we're talking about here. You remember Melchizedek? He was the king of Salem. He was without father, without mother. Abraham saluted him and gave a tithe of all that he had. Melchizedek brought out the bread and the wine. They had fellowship together right there. The writer of Hebrews says, I'm prepared to tell you all you need to know about Melchizedek, but it's too hard to explain to you because you're back on milk and you're not ready for meat. Concerning Melchizedek, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become what? Dull of hearing. Is your hearing physically the same as it was when you were in your 20s? Mine's not. My seeing's not as good as it was either. But spiritually, the same thing applies. That if you hear without acknowledging, and you understand without obeying, it will ultimately lead to you receiving without serving. And when you receive without serving, then you become dull in your spiritual life. We got anybody with the spiritual blahs today? You don't have to acknowledge right now. I can tell. When you get the spiritual blahs, One cure for the spiritual blahs is finding a place to serve. Find you a place to serve. You say, I don't know. I'd love to serve. I don't know where. Oh, my goodness, I'd love to talk with you. Yvette would love to talk with you. David would love to talk with you. Our adult teachers would love to talk with you. But there's the cure for these dysfunctions in the body of Christ, and that's why we have a simple church. We have a simple church, and we don't complicate it with a lot of programs. We don't complicate it with a lot of meeting-to-meet meetings. We keep it simple, but straightforward by design. And that leads us to the last thing that I want to close with. Not only the symptoms of our dysfunction, but the solutions, the simplicity of our design. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our what? Lord and Savior. But grow. Our design for you to grow through small groups has two things to it. Number one, connection groups. Connection groups. Some people used to know this as Sunday school at a different time in their life. But we call it our Sunday morning community connection groups. It meets at 9 o'clock or whenever the teachers show up. Uh-oh. I know. We got to do a better job of that, teachers. We've got to do a better job of that. You know I love you, don't you? I'm like, Daddy, I'm spanking you right now. But your class knows that you're not there on time. And if it's not important for you to be there on time, it won't be important for them to be there on time. We've got to do a better job of connecting and making it a priority. And teachers, I don't have a greater investment that I can give to you than to let you be one of my teachers. We've got two teaching hours at Truth Tabernacle of Praise, and I give you one of them. Now, how important is that to me? I need to make sure that you're prepared and that you're ready to go and you're ready to impart to the disciples, to the children that God gives you. And I want you raising up mature adults who can take on responsibilities like that for themselves. Classes, I need you there holding your teachers accountable to be there on time. But we need to grow through small groups, and we need to invite people. If you're really growing, we'll be bringing people through the worship service into the connection groups. Through the worship service, the first contact for most of us, into the connection groups. And we've got a second design that we use. It's called truth groups. Truth groups. Truth groups are small groups, but connection groups meet on Sunday morning. They meet on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock to 10:10. 9 o'clock to 10:10. And truth groups meet at various times of the year, and we've got a semester going on right now. One of me in the Sunday afternoon, and several others meet on Sunday evenings. But truth groups can meet any time through the week, other than Wednesday night at prayer meeting time, or Sunday morning at worship time. And we want you involved in truth groups. Truth groups usually last about 2 hours to 2.5 hours for more in-depth study, for deeper digging and meat of the Word. Community connection groups can only be 1 hour and 10 minutes by design because of the time limitations that we have, but truth groups, you can dig deeper. So, how are you doing? Are you maturing as a child of God? Are you connecting? Are you growing? And are you willing to serve? Don't let the dysfunction set up in your life. What I'd like for you to do is to bow your head at this time, and we want to give you an opportunity for you to acknowledge that you've heard from the Lord today. That's what we call an invitation. If there's a truth that God has spoken to your heart about today and you have heard it and you're willing to affirm it, then we don't want you to drift away from it. Then you need to respond to the Lord in some way today. If you've understood some truths but you've not been obeying those truths, then we don't want you to begin doubting truth. If you have also come to the place in your life to where you're ready to begin serving in a greater capacity than you have, then maybe that's what you need to acknowledge to the Lord today as well. Are you a baby? Are you a child? Or are you an adult? Wherever you're at in that journey, would you tell the Lord, I'm wanting to grow in your grace. And by your grace, I'll grow from where I'm at this season in my life to where you'd have me be for the next season of my life? Or are you in one of those storms and you sense the Lord is intending on passing you by? Do you need to come and cry out today? After I've prayed, everyone will have an opportunity to stand. And while you're standing, it'll be your opportunity to respond to what the Lord has for you. Father, we thank you for your instruction to us in means of righteousness. We thank you for the two-edged sword. It's sharp on both sides. It cuts, but it also heals. And Lord, if we've been cut today, we know you're ready to heal us today. And Lord, if we've been healing today, we know you're ready to complete it today. So Father, we've heard. We acknowledge that we've heard. We ask you to give us understanding so that we can obey, so that we don't drift, and we don't doubt, and we don't become dull. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand with me, church.